It's always fun to share with your family. Cam, this is the only group that I get really wrestling around with when I get to speak. Because we're all friends and family, and you have dirt on me, and I have dirt on you. And so you won't be dazzled by my brilliance or oratory. But my prayer is that God would really touch our hearts as we wrestle around with God's word in the wrestling that all of us are doing. Let's turn to Psalm 23, if you have it electronically, digitally, paperly, however you have it. And would you share it with me together as we enter into God's word? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. Lord, you care so much for us. You would give us a word that's written, that's inspired, that's been translated into a zillion languages. Lord, your word is here to exhort us, to comfort us, to challenge us. Lord, where we're a little bit too comfortable this morning, would you gently provoke us? And Lord, where we're wrestling this morning, would you give us peace and a sense of your direction in our lives? Thank you that you're with us always, in all ways. We thank you in Jesus' name. And together we said, amen. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Have you ever been lost? You know, have you ever been out like hiking and you got lost in the woods? Or have you ever been lost in traffic? Someone say amen this morning, I'll know you're breathing. Have you ever been lost in traffic? You ever been lost in a parkade? I get lost in a parkade trying to find my car. You know, they give you those car keys, you know, with the fobs on it, with a little red panic button. That's just a pacifier until you find your car. You go around the parkade and you're looking and you're looking and you can't seem to find it anywhere. I remember a number of years ago, Chris and myself and the kids were in a family car on the family vacation out in the middle of rural Alberta. And I remember it was late at night, we were going to go meet some friends, and you know, I thought I'd take a shortcut. You know how you do that? I'm going to take a shortcut. Dave, you and I know what we're talking about. And here we are, we ended up in this huge gravel pit in the middle of Alberta. The gravel pit was about the size of Forest Grove, or maybe the size of Edmonds. And there's just piles of dirt everywhere, and we're going around in the car, full of all the family vacation stuff, driving around, piles of dirt, piles of gravel, just totally lost. And I remember saying to Chris, I said, you know, honey, we're lost. We're going to run out of gas, and we're going to die in the middle of a gravel pit near Sundry, Alberta. And to make a long story short, we got out of it, just in case, that I didn't die in the gravel pit. But, you know, we lose lots of things, don't we? What are some of the things you've lost? You lost what? This is where you entertain, help me out. What? You know what? I've lost my wallet. I've lost my cell phone. Now, I would rather lose my wallet than my cell phone. So I misplaced it? Absolute panic. We lose our keys, right? We lose our... That's why I used to buy readers, you know, and I buy them at Costco because you just buy them in bulk, right? You lose your glasses. We lose our appetites. We lose our minds. You know, we lose all kinds of things. We lose our hearing. We lose our hair. That was just for you, partner. Boom, shakalaka. James, we go to the same barber, man. If you want to waste your testosterone-growing hair, go ahead. We have other good things to do. But people, we lose all kinds of different things. And I think for me, one of the saddest things in life is when I see people and friends when they lose their way, when they lose heart, or they lose their joy, or they lose their desire amid the gazillion little choices that we have to make each and every day. The average North American adult makes how many choices a day? Take a guess. Audience participation. What?
18,000.
18,000, not even close. 25,000, you're getting a little closer. Help me out. Sorry?
No.
Over 31,500. The average adult in North America makes 35,000 conscious or subconscious choices every single day. No wonder you're all looking so tired this morning. I mean, you're sort of up to the noon quota of tiredness. Average adult makes 35,000 conscious or subconscious choices every day. The average little child makes over 3,000 conscious or subconscious choices every single day. Friends, the big question for us this morning is, you know, who or where do you look to when you make all those 35,000 choices that you're going to be making each and every day? This is week 5 in a summer series called Soul Keeping, Following the Good Shepherd. And this morning I want to just jump into a little bit about He Guides Me Along Right Paths. Cam and Craig and Rick and to the elders and leadership, I've just been blessed in going through the series. We're partway through, and I have to be really transparent because you're all my friends and neighbors. There was parts when I was looking at the series I thought, oh, this is going to be really good for me. I really need to wrestle with this one. And there's other parts where I thought, oh, yeah, this, I got this one whooped. And what I found is the Holy Spirit sort of tripped me up. And areas, you know, that I thought I was doing good, I'm not really doing that great. And some areas where I didn't think I was doing that well, God is sustaining me through that. How many of you are following along? How many are reading the book? This is a test. Cam's watching in the back. How many of you have been in the study guide? Put your hand up. A little bit. Yeah, I see all my hands everywhere. Oh, yeah, there we go. I've been enjoying it and wrestling around with it. And it's been really, really intriguing. Today we're going to look at God's answer to the stress that's caused what I call indecision. Do you know what I mean? If I say indecision, it's like the time when an opportunity is presented to us, okay? Track with me this morning, okay? And we actually do something about it. It's like when the waiter gives you the menu, so you have the menu, but you haven't decided what you want. So they're in that time frame, that's sort of called indecision. You know, Dave, should I marry the good-looking girl or not? God's presented her to me, but I'm indecision. And when we're indecision, it's a really, really crucial time in our lives. Because what we do in that indecision time frame, when the opportunity comes along and we decide about it, it has huge ramifications in your life. My desires of my heart are actually exposed when I'm indecision in that time frame. My desires actually lead to my decisions. Those 35,000 decisions I'm going to make consciously or subconsciously today. And those decisions will ultimately lead to my destiny, where I'm going to end up. My desires lead to my decisions. My decisions lead to my destiny. I just want to say hi to friends randomly this morning. Did you get that, though? The desires of our heart lead to those 35,000 decisions you're going to make, which lead ultimately into our destiny. And that's why it's so really important for us to know who or where we're going to be looking to help us make those decisions and choices that we have to go. Sort of where we make up our mind in our decisions. What's going to be the result? Is there anybody here besides me who's made a bad decision in your life? This is a chance where you all get to put your hand up. I'll wait, Carla. Jim. Oh, there we go. That's better. Man, we've all made bad decisions. I mean, nobody's going to go 35,000 for 35,000 every single day of their life. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I mean, we don't do it. But our desires lead to our decisions, lead to our destiny. And the reality is sometimes we stay in the indecision mode a little bit too long because we're afraid of making a, say it with me, bad decision, right? With our children when they were younger, actually it's almost till this day, they are horrible when it comes to a menu. Like if I put a, what we would do with our kids, we're an hour before we land at Boston Pizza. I'm talking to my kids, well, what are you guys going to have at Boston Pizza this morning? What are you, or this afternoon? What are you going to have pizza? You're gonna have this? I get them primed all the time because when we get there, it takes forever. They'll stay indecision. Me, I'm a killer. I'm lethal when it comes to a menu. You give me a menu, 10 seconds later, guaranteed. You know, it's decided. You know, when there's chocolate on the table, there's no indecision. You know what I'm saying? It's boom, we just do it. The tricky part is this, though. When we're indecision, there are times in our lives when we're really vulnerable. Five times. For those of you who are note takers, write these five times down. If you write down the letters S-H-A-L-T, shalt, they'll fit in really nice because that's how my memory works when I get to be 58 years old. There's five times when you're really vulnerable indecision. When you're stressed, when you're hungry. Amen? All of you who are wrestling. When you're stressed, when you're hungry, when you're angry. Oh, Larry. Oh, Larry, 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 Larry. Jackie, 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 Jackie. You know, when I'm angry and I'm stressed and I'm hungry and I'm angry, or when I'm lonely, man, I'm vulnerable. When I'm lonely, wow. When I'm lonely, the decisions I make sometimes are not the best. When I'm stressed, hungry, angry, lonely, or tempted. And how many of you get tempted every day? This is where you raise your left hand. Man, we are tempted all the time. We live in a world that is just trying to draw us away from the things of God. And the Lord says to us, He guides me along right paths for His name's sake. The stress of indecision can get to a lot of us. James chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Greek word for unstable there literally means to sort of stagger around like you're drunk. Oh, man. It literally means when we're indecision, we're just wobbling all over. We're like the pinball bouncing all over the place. Our minds go back and forth every which way. And in our text this morning, God sort of gives us an answer. He's saying to us, in the midst of the 35,000 decisions, in the midst of the staggering and the temptations and the stress and the hungry and the anger and the loneliness that we all wrestle with, I have made a path for you. I've made a path of righteousness. And you know what? I will guide you on the righteous path. For whose sake? For my name's sake. For God's sake, He'll do that for you and I. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The good shepherd, as Craig mentioned earlier, not only provides for us and not only protects us, but he also leads us. And the tricky part is that we have to trust him to do that. Is there anyone besides me who has issues with trust? We do. You know, sheep have issues with trust, especially if a sheep's been nipped a few times. They're just not going to trust any old shepherd. But God encouraged us to trust him for his name's sake, because then he will give us rest for our souls. I want everyone to do this with me. Ready? Go. Man, you guys look better already. Rest for... Isn't that the way we want it? We're all so busy. We just want rest. Kaylee, you want double rest after serve. Actually, triple rest, Lord, quadruple rest. God says, I will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, will keep us on the right track. It's easy to get off of track. It's easy to lose focus. It's so easy to become distracted. Look at the squirrel. It's so easy to become distracted. That's a North American joke. We can easily miss the things of God when we're looking for the things in the wrong places, or when we're looking for the easy things in helping us make our decisions. I come out of a faith community. I was raised Roman Catholic, and then I was a really good pagan for a long time. You can't really say you're a bad pagan. I'm not sure. Anyway, it was not good, Terry. You know what I'm saying? Gotcha. And then I came to faith. I was part of a Pentecostal movement. I didn't know Pentecostals from Presbyterians. I always thought growing up when I was a kid, you were a Catholic, you were a pagan, or you were a Protestant. I didn't know all you Protestants didn't get along. But anyway, I became part of and in that faith community, a lot of us, we were always looking, when we had decisions and discernment of God's will, we were all looking for mystical sorts of experiences. And, you know, we're wanting to make decisions and we're waiting for that feeling to come over us. Or we're waiting for the shaking. Or we're waiting for an emotional stirring. And, you know, God moved through a lot of those kinds of experiences. There are also a lot of ones we wondered about. And I come over to a tribe a little bit later on who are very logical. If I'm going to make a decision, Mark Workington, it has to be logical. It has to be rational. I have to think it all through. Right, Dane? I mean, it just has to make sense. Everything has to be just this way. And you know what? The interesting part is I've seen God move through that in helping us make decisions. And then I've also seen some people who they just sort of sit there and they go, okay, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And the reason they want someone else to tell them what to do in the decision is so that then they'll have someone else to blame when everything goes wrong. So how about you? How about you and the decisions that you're making right now? There's four quick things before I we'll close in a time of prayer for ourselves and for the things that we're wrestling around with in our lives. But there's four truths or helps that come out really fast from the text, and I'll go through them. As the first thing that comes along is, he leads me because I need someone to lead me. We need a guide in our lives. You know, sometimes that's really tough. Is there anyone else besides me who's proud and stubborn? No way you're getting me to put my hand up on that one, Tom. And we don't like to be told what to do. We're proud and we're stubborn. We don't want to ask directions. We don't want to ask for help. It's not in our nature. I mean, I've got 35,000 decisions to make today, and so do you. So you know what? So I just don't want to bother you. Or sometimes I would think, well, Lord, I know there's 7.2 plus billion people out there. You've got to help them. So I'm just going to make a few decisions over here on my own. The truth is that we need a guide. Our independent nature, our pride, or even our desire not to bother, we tend to stumble around and become confused. Sheep by nature wander astray, and they need a shepherd. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us to their own way." Is there anyone, I've been around sheep in my life. Anybody else been around some sheep besides on your plate that you eat? I up in northern British Columbia, we had some friends, and they had sheep, and we're near a Hutterite colony that had about 10,000 sheep. And when I was a kid growing up on Vancouver Island in Machosen, you might know where that is between Souk and Victoria, we used to help put up sheep fencing. And sheep fencing is 5-strand barbed wire, and the barbed wire, is Natalie here? Natalie, the barbed wire is as tight as a violin string. And it's just sharp as all get out. And we'd have to build them over rocks and hills and everything, because these crazy sheep, they would just wander away. They would just wander. They'd go over a cliff and die or get maimed. They'd actually walk into a fire. I mean, they're just, sheep are prone to wander. Why does Jesus call us sheep? Here's a quick sheep fact. Sheep have really, really, really bad vision. What do you call it when you can just see a little bit in front? Is that short-sighted or far nearsighted? Tunnel vision. Yeah, you can just see a little bit. Like, sheep can't see very far at all. You know, we always say blind as a bat. We should actually say blind as a sheep, Jim, just as a better point of reference. Sheep can't see ahead of them. They don't know the path, and they don't know where they're going. They need a shepherd, someone who can see ahead. And we're so much like sheep. We don't have the ability to see anywhere into the future. Some of you have plans for this afternoon, right? Maybe it's a plan, but you have no idea what's going to happen. You and I have no idea what's going to happen in 10 seconds from now. We have no idea what's going to happen 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days. We make plans. We have ideas. If you're going to watch the rematch of the Wimbledon thing, I advise you just to save your money because Raonic lost in straight sets. And when I said that this morning at RP, four people groaned and they said, "What? Oh no, you shouldn't have told us that." And I said, "Well, look, I've just saved you 3 hours this afternoon to go and do something more incredibly entertaining and valuable with your time." But we can't see down the road, and that's why God made us so that we can't see into the future, no matter how hard we try. There's lots of little gimmicks that people have, right, for trying to see into the future. You can go around some of the shops here in Burnaby, and you can see Mrs. Quininamanunjabalala's tarot card reading, Ouija board, horoscope. You know, there's all these crazy things that people use to try to have a sense of what's in front of them. We don't realize that God has actually made us this way. We don't know the future because we need to depend upon Him. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We make decisions that at the time seem to be so right, and later on discover them that it was not a good decision after all." Some of our choices lead to pain. Some of your choices and some of my choices have led to heartache and breakdowns. So the first help for our soul is really to admit to God and to ourselves that we need His leading in our lives. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, David says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day." In verse 9 it says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. He guides me along righteous paths for his name's sake." Secondly, we need to ask in faith. And Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will what? Be added unto you. And He doesn't say, seek all these things, and then maybe if they're righteous, I might give them to you. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the righteousness of God in the things that we're doing. Along right paths. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask and will receive, seek and will find, knock and the door will be open." God wants us to ask Him in faith. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives all men liberally, and it shall be given to them." James 1 and verse 5. We need to ask in faith. God wants us to show us His ways and to lead us in His paths, and that's what wisdom is. We have to ask the right person, who's God, and we have to ask in the right attitude, which is faith. That's a tricky step for some of us, asking in faith. Ask God, expecting an answer. It's not our needs that are going to bring results. We all have needs. Amen? Wow, you guys. Amen? We all have needs. You have needs. As soon as the need you have right now is met, the conveyor belt of need is going to bring you another need. And then after that need gets met, you're going to have more needs. And you are a needy lot of people. I have friends who come from Africa, and they say, "North America has so much," right? You know what? North America has way more junk, and we have way more needs than my brothers and sisters in Africa. We just have this never-ending amount of need. The amazing thing is God has a never-ending amount of grace that will meet our need, but we need to ask in faith. Thirdly, the third help for our soul is we need to listen for God's response. Man, I'm a doer by nature. If you can imagine a powerboat, you know, a racing boat going across Cultus Lake at about 150 zillion miles an hour, I'm the kind of guy, I jump into the boat, I say my prayer, "Dear Lord, please bless me," and I full throttle, and I'm halfway across the lake, and the wake is shooting out the back, and my prayer usually goes, "Lord, bless my wake," as I'm going along. I'm getting better as I get older to listening to God and to slowing down. And as advice, as an encouragement for one who's a little older, to those of you who are younger, that's a practice that we need to listen for God's response for his name's sake. Success is really doing God's will in God's strength, in God's time, for God's glory. Let me say it again. Success is doing God's will in God's strength, in God's time, for God's glory. It's not doing my thing in my ability whenever I feel like it so that I can get a pat on the back. I run into lots of trouble. He guides me along righteous paths for his name's sake. We need to listen for God's response. Cam shared a message a couple of months back, and he was talking about in the building there's all kinds of like radio waves, microwaves, internet kind of a things, you know, and if you have the right radio and you have it turned to the right dial, I think, Cam, you know, we can actually tune in to what's happening. And our souls are a bit like that when it comes to God. If our souls are tuned in to what the Spirit is saying to us, then it's really easy. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. But we need to be listening for that voice. What if we don't hear God? What if we have our, you know, our receptor turned off, our soul connection with God, you know, just tuned into earthly things, or, you know, rather than the heavenly frequencies? We could be tuned into the wrong frequency. You know, we're too busy, or we're wanting to check out, you know, what other sources have to say. You know, what does Dr. Phil say? What does Oprah say? What does whoever say? Rather than, Lord, what are you saying in the midst of the decisions and choices I have? God is speaking to us all the time. Job 33 and verse 14, for God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives not. The question is not whether God is speaking or not to you. The question is whether I'm listening. And then what do I do with what I hear in the myriad of choices that I make every single day? Sometimes our ears become dull to hearing the Lord. God speaks to our souls, but we can't hear him. We're maybe disobedient, or I think maybe the biggest challenge sometimes is that our lukewarm hearts have a very hard time hearing what God is saying. But however God communicates to us, it's really up to us to listen, to be still, to know that he is God. John 14, 21, Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. Whoever has my command and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, that's the real test of he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. You know, following our own paths, they lead to more brokenness, leads to broken health, broken marriages, broken homes, broken finances, broken hearts, broken dreams. We have a society that we live in. We have a, you know, the city that we live in is literally broken because it's quit listening and responding to God and to God's voice. And it doesn't take long for doing these things for it to happen. But there's some good news in all of this, and we're going to close in prayer, and I want to share a couple of good news thoughts. But here's the last thought help for you with our soul before we close this morning. We need to understand. Can you lock in with me for like 5 minutes? Can you stay really track with me? Is that okay? Can I encourage you to do this? This is probably, everything else I said this morning is really good. This is really important, okay? This is really, really important. I know it's important because I'm in the midst of it right now. And I know most of you in this room, and you're in similar sorts of situations. So stay with me if you can. We need to understand sometimes God leads us to places that we don't understand. Let me say it again, okay? Sometimes God leads us to places we don't understand. Sometimes God leads us to people that we don't understand. Sometimes God leads us to situations that we don't understand. Sometimes God will lead us into relationships that we just don't understand. And those things that we don't understand, it could involve tragedy, it could involve crisis, it could involve pain. Sometimes the path God chooses for us is really, really hard to understand. And it seems very confusing. And we just can't figure it out. Lord, it's not right. Lord, this isn't fair. Lord, this is tough. Lord, this is more than I can handle. Lord, where are you? Our stress increases, our hunger, our anger, our loneliness, our tiredness. And we just wrestle around because sometimes God leads us into situations that we just don't understand. And the point of it is this, is that even in the midst of our not understanding, God is saying to you and I, trust me. Trust me. Say it with me. Trust me. Trust me. God is saying to you, Dane, I'm going to do it till you say it, brother. Did you say it? Oh, I didn't hear you. God is saying in the midst of this situation you're in, trust me. Oh, man. That is easy to say, Cam, behind this little black stand on Sunday. But I'll, you know what? In a few hours, I'm heading back into a situation where I'm going, Lord, I'm not really good at handling this one. You're going to leave here today, and you're going to have some things thrown your way that, wow, I can't handle it. Remember the people, the children of Israel? They've been set free from Egypt, 400 years of slavery. Remember that? Moses said, to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And finally, Pharaoh had enough. He let them go. All the children of Israel, they're marching out to freedom. And the very first thing they come to is what? The Red Sea. And here they are, a million plus people, into a situation where they have mountains on one side that are literally unpassable. They have a huge sea around them that is totally uncrossable. And they have an army of tens of thousands that are coming in behind them to kill them. And they're stuck in there. And they're going in this deep and dark place of absolute despair. And they're looking around and they're going, Lord, why am I here? Some of you are in situations in your life right now and you're going, Lord, why am I here? And it feels like you have the unpassable, the uncrossable, and it feels like you are just under siege continually. This is what God has asked me to share to you this morning. And he's saying to you in this, he's asking me to ask you to trust him in this. The path looked like an absolute dead end. Can you imagine that you're the children of Israel? We're done. What the heck happened? 400 years, God's brought us out here. We're going to get slaughtered, drowned, or die on a mountainside. But God knew what he was doing. God was preparing for them a miracle. God could see what they couldn't see. God opened up the Red Sea, and they safely crossed over unharmed. God has made a way when there is no way. Friends, what miracle is God preparing for you today in the situation you're in? God is preparing a miracle for you today. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, trust me. Say it again with me. Trust me. You got the mountains, you got the ocean, you got the armies. You got financial situations, you got relationship situations, you got marriage situations, you have spiritual situations, you have physical situations. But rather than it being a dead end, maybe it's an opportunity for God to perform a miracle in you. It's not a wall that you keep running into, rather it's a doorway that you're going to pass through. And God is saying to you this morning, trust me. The path seems dark, discouraging, despairing, and I know I'm wrestling with that right along with you right now. But God is saying, trust me. The path that God puts us on, the right pathway, will become clearer and clearer as we continue to trust in him. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, and I'll close with that, and then we're just going to spend some time in prayer this morning. I think Cam mentioned earlier, as we're in prayer, to bring some of those big wrestling things that you're wrestling with to God and get ready for the miracle that God is wanting to do. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lead not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." I don't know about you, but one of Satan's voices in my ears are sometimes is, you know, God doesn't really care for you. God's too busy. God is not here. God, whatever. That's just a lie from the enemy. In Jesus' name, just curse the lie, rebuke the lie, and believe in the reality that God has made a path for us, and he guides us along that path, righteous path, for his name's sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you're with us always in all things, in all situations. Father, you're asking us to trust you in some of the deepest experiences and things that we're wrestling around with. And Father, the good news for us this morning is that you're here and that you're with us. Lord, you can put us back onto the right paths. Lord, every day you're placing people on the right paths. Every day you're changing our lives. Lord, some things you're doing very quickly and other things, they seem to take longer. But Father, with you, absolutely nothing is hopeless. Lord, no matter how far off the right path we may be, Father, you're wanting to put us back onto the right path. And we thank you for that again this morning. Father, you love this group of people. And Lord, I love this group of people. And Father, we want to pray for one another. But Lord, we also want to pray for the challenges that we're facing. And so we lift these up before you in Jesus' name. Father, we confess to you that we don't understand. We confess to you that we have gotten off the right path, maybe even in this situation. And Lord, we're asking you to forgive us, to cleanse us, Lord, to put us back onto the right path. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, we want to be sensitive to your voice as you're leading. Lord, give us hearts to obey and open to you. Lord, help us to realize that we're in a battle 35,000 times a day. But Father, in this battle, you are more than sufficient. You are more than a conqueror. We thank you that in these struggles, we are overcomers in you, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters as we wrestle together, Lord, and Father, that you'd help us to respond with courage as these different situations come along. Lord, help us to have rest in our souls, peace in our hearts, and your joy is our strength as we serve and walk together with you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name.